Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Audio.
I'm recording on my phone since I've still lost my fucking Zoom recorder.
Well, I have about seven of them, so I'll send you one.
I just got to go to Best Buy and get one. I feel
Do
like
they have Best Buys in LA. It seems so beneath you.
What are you, crazy? Best Buy? There's like 150 of them. No, I mean, we don't have any Krogers.
You don't? Do you have any Schnucks?
No.
The friendliest stores in town?
You have a Schnuck?
We have a Schnucks. I know the Schnuck family. Fantastic family, actually.
Are they billionaires?
Pretty much. Yeah. We should have gotten into the grocery business. I could see you with an apron on, you know, carving up meats in the back and Oliver Hudson's bologna.
Yeah. Hudson's butcher shop. That could be my future. I saw Al Michaels today on the golf course.
Yeah.
And he was asking about you and wondering what's going on with your deal.
So that made you think about talking to me on our podcast about what's going on with my deal. As we sit here now on Wednesday, March 2nd at 7:03 Central Time PM, because that'd be crazy. It'd be 5:03 your time if we were recording this.
That's crazy.
Oliver. I don't know. I know Troy's gone. That's different from when the last time we talked. So he's now at ESPN and I don't know. I'm kind of in limbo. I've got another year under contract at Fox, and they have expressed interest in keeping me. They also know that, you know, that was a big partnership that I had with Troy for 20 years. And I would just say this, the hard thing, and I don't know that people totally understand it, but the timing that you build up and get comfortable with a partner. It's got to be the same in your business when you get into a groove. And
it's chemistry.
It's chemistry. And you know, with subtle movements, it's a funny thing. You know, when I'm doing a game with Troy, I'm never looking at Troy. I'm looking at the field. I'm looking at the monitors in front of me or John Smoltz or whoever I've worked with over time. But I can sense little movements that they do that lets me know that he wants to jump in or he wants to say something. And the other side of it is, if I'm about to bring up a point that I know Troy or John that they want to add on to, because there's a lot of times where they'll be talking, hitting a button, talking down to the production truck, and that kind of cuts me out of their conversation. And so he's not totally listening to me. I will grab Troy or I will grab John by the arm like, hey, I'm about to say something I know from our talking, you know, during the course of the weekend that you're going to want to add on to. And so pay attention because this is a moment, you know, where we can kind of go off on something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just little things, just little leans and body movement tells, like really, that you would know in poker. And I'm terrible at poker. I don't even know how to play. But you're constantly reading body language and whatever, and you're taking hints and clues without actually being told, hey, I want to talk about this. So it's a long-winded way of saying there's a comfort level in a job that is extremely intense these days, doing live sporting events at that level for 30, 50, 100 million people at a time. You need to make sure that you're on the same page with a person working next to you, and that person has your back, and that person knows that you have theirs. And that's what we've built up over 20 years. So I don't know where I'm going to be next year.
I do. I know.
You do?
I mean, you haven't told me, but I know. I mean, there's, of course. Okay. You're going to be at ESPN, dude. I mean, there's no doubt about it in my mind. You're going to end up at ESPN. There's just no doubt. I mean, I've read the papers. I read everything that comes up on my Google, you know, because I have you, you know, how you do, what is it called? Google Alert. Like, I've got you on Google Alert. So everything that Joe Buck comes up on my phone, I read it all. I've read the word lame duck. You know, I know what that means from politics, because I'm
right.
You know, why would they ever keep you there another year? You know, when they know that you're leaving, you
because
know,
it's a Super Bowl year.
Yeah.
You're gonna be
a lame duck Super Bowl.
I don't know. I mean, it's not like, you just kind of go do the job. I've read that word, that phrase too. To me, it's like, okay. I mean, you're just broadcasting games. It's not like I'm building some master plan. You have that with managers, lame duck manager, lame duck head coach, because their deal's up in a year, whatever. I don't know that it applies to what I do for a living. You'd be like a lame duck actor. Every time you do a friggin' pilot, you're a lame duck. It doesn't affect your performance.
Oh, even if I'm in series, I consider myself a lame duck.
Right. Lame buck.
Well, what are the chances that I can fill in just for 1 year for Troy? Because I am with the Fox family. I think we'd have a great time.
You join me. Now, there's a twist that has not been talked about. And I think with the pull and the sway that Charlie Collier from the entertainment side has on the sports side, and you being on the good graces of Charlie Collier, I think there's a chance. And I would welcome that, you and me now, calling a Super Bowl.
Okay. Charlie's become, you've known him forever, and he's becoming friend. I'm becoming friends with Charlie, right? Is it not Collier? Like, is it French?
No.
You know, are you sure?
I am 100% positive his name is Collier.
It's I-E-R, though.
Right. You mean there's nobody walking the planet that's C-O-L-L-I-E-R that's named Collier?
His name's Charlie Collier.
Okay. Yeah. Well, whatever you want. He loves you so much. I don't think he would correct you. But it's like, Collier.
Keep talking in real time. I'm texting him right now, and I'm going to ask him whether his name is Collier or Collier.
Well, he was at AMC, and they did, among other shows that were kind of groundbreaking, he did Mad Men, which My history with John Hamm, who I've known since I was, I don't know, 15, somewhere in there. We actually dated sisters for a quick second back here in St. Louis, that I've been aware of him, and then become friends with John Slattery and guys that were on Mad Men. And that included Collier, who was one of the bosses there. And he loves John, and I'm sure John made him a lot of money with the deal that those guys made. I just remember where John was mentally and emotionally when he went to audition for that show. I just had lunch with him, and he's like, I don't know. This is going nowhere. I'm going back to St. Louis. He had come back for a while and was teaching at a high school that's right across the street from where I'm sitting right now, John Burroughs, which is where he went to high school, where Ezekiel Elliott went to high school. And he was teaching drama there, and he was just kind of, he's like, I'm done. This isn't going anywhere. And then he was like, I got this audition for the show on AMC. I mean, who the hell watches that? I don't even know where AMC is on my cable system or whatever. And then the next thing you know, he's Don Draper, and his career in life takes off, which he's just one of those guys that it would have been such a shame if nobody ever came across his abilities. I'd seen him do stuff on stage in a couple small roles on television and was like, man, I don't get it. Why nobody sees this guy as being a leading man. And then he gets Mad Men and people actually watch AMC for both Mad Men and then what?
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he just texted me back and you were right, Collier. But I still don't believe
How did that. You ask your ultimate boss at Fox that question?
Well, I don't really, you know me, I don't really hold much back. I said, on a podcast with Buck as we speak, how do you pronounce your last name? He goes, oh no, be kind, Collier. And I said, but it's French. So
yeah,
I guarantee his relatives, you know, his great grandfather or whatever was Collier.
Collier.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more Daddy Issues.
How was golf today with your brother, a.k.a. Captain America, and yeah. Dennis Quaid, a.k.a. one of the cutters from Breaking Away, one of my all-time favorite movies?
It was great. We had fun. God, that course is good. It's just in good shape, too. And we had a good time. Dennis is a fun dude. He's a really fun guy. But by the way, to wrap up Al Michaels, he was like, why don't you and Buck have me on your podcast? How come you haven't asked me to be on your podcast? I want to be on your podcast.
He didn't say that.
I swear to God, he did. I swear to God. And I said, well, we don't really have many guests now, but we're thinking about doing it. And I was like, we're calling you. You're coming on.
What if all of this gets realigned in the sports broadcasting business? And mm-hmm. next week, we actually have Al on.
Oh my God.
You interview me mm-hmm. and Al.
Yeah.
And you, like, do a serious interview of the two of us and what we see in the business and how this all played out, whether I'm at Fox or I'm at, you know, the O Network or whatever. ask me how it all came down and we'll see where Al is. And it will be, we will pump it out to every news outlet. And this will be our chance.
Yeah.
This is it. This is our chance to grow the podcast.
That's a great idea. It's
to huge. The levels where,
I
don't know, Dax Shepard was the first time he turned on his microphone before his empire was built.
Yeah, and then you guys have to be honest. And I say, I'd ask you guys each. I said, what is it about Buck that you sort of admire, or something that you wish that you had as a play by play? And then, you know, what is it something that you think he could do better at?
Right. Yes, I would love to hear the answer to that, because I guarantee it. Because there are very few people, I'm sure you feel this way in acting, that there are some people that you see through when they're mm-hmm. acting, and yet they're considered successful, whether it's commercially mm-hmm. or even critically. That you, Oliver Hudson, look at and you go, I don't see it. I just don't see it. And it drives you nuts to a certain level. I know for a fact that I'm one of the few guys he can actually watch do a game. And he's one of the few guys I can actually watch do a game. We've talked about it. Like I try to stay out of the way. I try to, you know, be smart and make good choices during the course of a game. And for whatever reason, Al's a hero of mine. And I still think Al at 77 is terrific. I think he's the best in the business still. And that to do it for damn near 50 years and still be the best in the business in his mid-70s is remarkable.
But why the hell are they letting him go?
Well, they've had a long time deal with Mike Tirico.
They brought him
from, I guess it was ESPN, and mainly to be the Olympic host, which he's great at everything.
He's great.
I've said that before a million times.
Early on in our podcast, you said Mike Tirico was just like the jack of all trades.
For the versatility, he can do hockey, he can do basketball, he can do the Olympics. He's just very smart and he's great. And he's a good friend too. But So he went to NBC, and then part of his deal was this time period where he was going to then take over Sunday Night Football, because Al has toyed with the idea of just shutting it down. Well, when it comes time to actually shut it down, some guys have a tough time going, okay, I'm pulling the ripcord, I'm done. And if you're Al, why would you? You're still terrific. But they've had this deal with, and they've kept pushing it back. And finally, they had the Super Bowl, and that was supposed to be it. But he's still so good that Al wants to keep going, and I'm glad he is. But they've had this plan in place with Mike for a long time. So
right.
Mike takes over, Collinsworth stays. Al either goes to Amazon, ESPN, Fox, if I mm-hmm. leave, he's mm-hmm. got options, but it forever he's been the guy that's going to take over and start up Amazon because they're getting Thursday Night Football. But now mm-hmm. other opportunities have come along because of all this crazy movement that nobody in the business saw coming. Nobody predicted any of this, including the people involved like me.
It's so weird. It's like the perfect storm, and it's like everyone's contracts are coming up all at the same time, all the heavy hitters. It's just going to shake up the whole thing.
Yeah, and like I said, it's absolutely dropped down out of the sky, because at mm-hmm. worst, and you and I talked about it off the air a million times, at worst, it felt like Troy was going to go to Amazon,
mm-hmm.
and he was going to do X number of games at Amazon, and then all the big late games in the postseason, the Super Bowl with me at Fox. I had basically resigned myself to the fact that we were mm-hmm. going to have different people on the 1 o'clock games,
mm-hmm.
but the 4:30 games, East Coast time, was going to be Troy, like it's always been, and then postseason and Super Bowl, and that's fine. I can live mm-hmm. with that. And then try out different people at the 1 o'clock. I mean, that was through the entire season. And then all of a sudden, ESPN comes out of nowhere. I mean, mm-hmm. literally nowhere from any of our conversations, and they end up signing him. So mm-hmm. nobody saw that coming, and that's kind of changed this whole formula, because it was going to be Troy at Amazon with Al Michaels, and Michaels really wanted to work with Troy, and Troy wanted to work with Al, and now the piece that moved to a spot that nobody saw coming is Troy to ESPN. So now mm-hmm. it's like, okay, well then who's Al going to work with? And
mm-hmm.
I just lost my partner, and I thought I was going to have him half the year, but now he's gone totally at ESPN. So it's put a stick in the spokes of this mm-hmm. bicycle tire that has flipped the whole thing on its head, which I understand. If people's eyes and ears are bleeding right now, I get it, because I don't think people care, but I do. So mm-hmm. I don't know, where it goes from here. I really honestly don't, as we sit here at
7:18. I think it's 18. Cool.
You do, but I
think
I don't.
It's cool.
How can you know and I don't?
Because I know people care about this stuff. You know what I mean? They want to know. Inquiring minds want to know. You just have great leverage now, Can I get like a percentage of whatever deal you make next? Because, I'm doing Cameo for dollars, and that's not.
Oh, how's that gone? We have not talked about Cameo for a long time. How's your phone number thing going? Email?
I haven't looked at it. It's probably stacked. I haven't looked at it in like 150 years. It's going fine, but I've let a few go. Like, there's expirations and they're expiring because I'm kind of lazy, and I don't know.
Cameo?
Yeah, with the Cameo. But I will say it's been actually really nice, because even though people are paying for a message from you, you are bringing them some kind of joy, and they're really grateful for it. And, you're lifting spirits, and you get ones that, are kind of not sad, but, my sister is going through chemo, and she loves you and needs her spirits lifted, and, stuff like that and then of course you feel guilty that they're paying you for that shit, but I don't know.
Can you refuse somebody's money?
Yes, which I have done numerous times, actually. I have.
Do one right now into the camera. I'm going to set it up. No, okay, just stop. I'm going to set it up. My sister, Julie.
Oh, God.
has a radio show in St. Louis.
Okay.
And she just got a promotion and she loves Oliver Hudson. And she really would like to hear you say her name, Julie Brooks or Julie Buck. Either one works. And she got a promotion at KTRS, the Big 550. Can you remember
Julie,
all that?
Julie, you can't fool me. You've got a promotion, baby. Can you do me? But not that way. KRSW or whatever you say. Congratulations, baby. Hey, Julie, congrats on your promotion. I hear you're digging me, but don't tell your husband, but I dig you too. I've been thinking about you for a minute. The issue that I'm having with you right now, though, is I expect a response. When I text you, when I call you, when I email you and I get nothing back, even though I am married, it kind of hurts. So we need to work on that. Now that you might have this promotion, you might feel a little bit more confident and maybe you will follow the path of Hudson. Maybe we can be together. You know what I mean? There's a chance. Anyway, I love you. Don't tell my wife I'm falling in love with you. And, you know, hit me up. Shoot me a DM. Let me know how your life is going because I care about you.
Now, what would I have had to pay for that piece of shit?
$150.
Oh, my God. $150 for that hunk of shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it, dude. Right there. People like it. People like it. Well, just give me a little piece of your salary. I don't want to do this anymore. You know what I mean?
Wild there.
Oh, there he is. Hey, Biggs.
Hey, big boy.
My son has just showed up in the background. Loving
he's
on
kissing
my dog.
Your dog. And now he's gone. Now he's hiding.
He's getting embarrassed. He's embarrassed. Hey, I know we're not talking about it in this episode, but we can at least tease it. Because I know that Michelle Buck, your beautiful wife, wanted to come on to clear something up or to speak her side of something. What are we talking about? Which part?
Well, it was it was the part where we talked about love language and the fact that she would like me to dance with her. And she reacted the same way you reacted when I gave that sigh. And I was like, ugh. And it broke her heart. And she listens to our podcast. Your wife, your sons, your daughter. Nobody in your family listens to anything that we do. But my wife does. And so she'll be working out. And I could sense her mood deteriorating as she was listening to this thing go. And I knew I was in trouble. That's why I woke up in the middle of the night to text Josh to take certain things out.
Right.
And I was right. She's a little bent out of shape and probably rightly so. Rightly so. So I'm here as somebody that's going to have to answer the accusations that she will level at me about my I'm a little bit too open, I think, and I
no,
guess
you're
I
not.
Misrepresented.
No, you're not. It's
I guess
good.
I misrepresented what I need or what she needs from me.
I agree, but you know what? At the end of the day, you put on your little dancing shoes and you do the box step. So you're doing the right thing. You know, just because we're having a candid conversation and you're maybe sighing about it because you don't necessarily love it, that doesn't fucking matter. You're doing it for her. That's the whole point of the love language. It's not about what you want. It's about what she wants.
Laughed at it, too. And then she's like, I don't judge you when you dance. I was like, yeah, you do. But I mean, that let's just let it unfold naturally.
But I would love to have her on because that was a topic of conversation even in my marriage with Aaron, because I think she was listening to us as we were doing that podcast. And then we got off and she's laughing. And I'm like, oh my God, like imagine if that was your thing. And I had like dance with you and we're both like laughing. Cause I was like, I don't know if I can do
that. You're not helping me here. This is not good.
Sorry. I'm just talking about my personal. It's not about you. It's me personal.
She just, here's the thing. And this is, I will say this prior to her arrival on this podcast for the second time. She wants quality time with me in any form possible. So with the boys being just nonstop all day, by the time we get them down, like tonight, Michelle is leaving to go back to Denver tomorrow to check on her dad and go back. And so she leaves in the morning, so I won't see her for the rest of the week. And she really wants to have quality time once the boys go down, as do I. And whatever form that takes, even if it's laying on the couch watching Dateline, just being together is what she wants. Now, her ultimate dream is for us to be in our room slow dancing, which is fine.
Are you on this Wednesday, are you going to be slow dancing tonight?
Like, I would say
no,
I would say no. I don't think tonight's is a necessity. It's a necessity to do that. We're at, you know, we were in Denver with the boys and had some help with us, but yeah, we have been going at a frenetic pace, and so just having a chance to unplug with them would be, you know, would be great.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you do slow dance, can you like secretly film it and just send it to me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. I will.
I love that Michelle wants that quality time. I think it's fucking great. You know, and I would love her to come on to clear a few things up. That's fine.
It's just going to be a crush Joe moment, as it was in the bus on the way to the Super Bowl.
Oh, that was bad. I felt bad. I wasn't crushing you. You were sick though. You were sitting backwards and you were getting sick. So you were, everything was wrong in that moment.
Everything was wrong. We got it. But it was just, you know, basically I'm the ogre because I overreact to everything. And, you know, whether it's you and our friendship or it's Michelle and my very forceful tone that I take, and it's scary that, you know, I can stop the boys in their tracks and whatever, and I can make them cry just by the tone of my voice. I seemingly can make you cry just by the tone of my voice.
Well, coming back to us, isn't it interesting how we've worked it out without really having to talk about it? You know what I mean? Like, I think that's the difference right there. I mean, I know what you need from me and you know what I need from you. And I try to be respectful now and I try to be on time as much as I can. And, you know, I was on here before you. I really make an effort because I know it matters, you know,
and if you're not,
it doesn't have to be talked about.
I'm not going to lose it because I know.
Right.
From our pre-McConaughey conversation.
Yeah.
That you will absolutely lose your mind.
Yes. For those of you who don't know that, just go back and listen to the McConaughey episode and you can see.
But I don't know that other stuff was in there, was it? I mean, I laughed my ass off when I listened to that back.
Yeah. Oh God.
You
crazy.
Were so mad. And it's more maddening when you're mad as you were that night or that day, and the other person isn't. And the other person can just kind of slough it off. There's no argument. It was a one way. You were just the only one that was hot at that moment because you knew I was coming in hot, and I really wasn't. But you were projecting how I was going to be.
Yes, I was. But I will say that I think we have a very healthy relationship, you and I. That it should be a model for many people, friends and lovers. You know, I think it's accepting. It's like, look, I know who you are. You know who I am. I'm going to try to be better. You're going to try to be better. Simple. Simple.
Yeah.
And so
I think
far,
that's fair. We haven't had any fights in a long time.
No, in a long, long time. It's been beautiful, really. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe Michelle, you know, needs to sort of model your guys' relationship, you know, on ours. Like, it's like, well, look at how Buck and Oliver do it. Maybe we should be the same.
I don't think that's going to work.
Okay.
I don't think she wants any part of that.
Okay. All right, so, fine.
If you're enjoying this episode of Daddy Issues, don't keep it to yourself. Please share the love and tell a friend about Daddy Issues and go subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. We
That's
beg
right.
you.
Stay tuned. You don't want to miss what's coming up right after the break.
Are your babies going to bed right now?
Yeah. I have to go up and put them to bed with Michelle because, I mean, we're good for a minute here. I don't know that we have anything else to say. How long is this podcast gone? Like, are we paid by the minute?
Yes, we're paid $0 a minute.
So we've gone like 28 minutes?
I don't know. Margo, how long have we gone?
About 26, 28 minutes, maybe. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I mean, if I was listening to a podcast and they got to 26 minutes, I'd feel satisfied.
Oh, yeah. Oh, without a doubt. I'm sure the listeners aren't going to want more at this point. They're going to be excited that it's ending.
Always leaving the audience, always leave the audience wanting more.
Yes. Well, we don't have any ads to read, you know, so we can just do a shorty right now. You know, I mean, I have my kids that I have to contend with. Wilder's got 8,000 things he's got to do. He's got a big debate tomorrow.
Oh, God, I used to love those.
His debate, actually, his topic is good. His topic is cancel culture. So he has to like argue.
What side of it?
Well, I think that you have to be prepared for both. And then they're going to give you, you know, sort of tell you what side you're going to argue. So this will be very interesting to hear what he might have to say. Although he's not excited about it. He's not excited about anything school related whatsoever.
God, that was the only thing I excelled in. I couldn't do math. I was okay with English because I could write a little bit. But you give me a debate with some other kid in my class, I will shred them.
Oh, you annihilated them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would love debate. I never did debate, but I would love debate. Yeah.
That was so fun. That was the only thing I looked forward to. And I, it was that people go, what would you be if you weren't a broadcaster? That I would like to do, like, I would like to be a lawyer. I'd like to be a trial lawyer.
Right. Right. The problem with million debates is I'd probably, if I got too angry or if I went white hot, I'd just start getting personal. You know what I mean? It would go off the rails and I'd just start annihilating that person. You know, in a real personal way.
Right. No, I know. Yeah. You know what? Let's forget cancel culture. Your parents don't like you.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Look at you, you goofy motherfucker.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. I would probably do the same thing. I had a kid who will remain nameless, but used to rip on. I was the fat kid on the playground. Not crazy fat, but I was, if somebody was going to make fun of me for something, it was that. It wasn't my hairline back then. I had a plentiful head of hair. It was that, even though I was a decent athlete and all that stuff. But this guy, he and I would go at it verbally, where we would be in this area of our high school called the commons room. And people would like gather around. This is like how I assume Eminem grew up, where people, we were doing our own rap battle.
Right.
But it was just ripping on the other person.
Yeah.
And it was a complete war of wit.
Right.
And the ability to slice somebody up verbally.
Yeah.
I felt like I held my own. I damn near won every one of those battles because I could just, he had one note and I could just, I could go many different angles on the guy.
I'm so with you. Like I have text threads, you know, various text threads. And one of them specifically is a really sort of dissing thread. Everyone's like dissing each other, but you cannot get into a war of words with me. Like I will just chop you up. I will chop you up.
Yeah.
There's just no doubt about it.
The two of us together would be dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's the show we should do, where we just bring people on and just, they don't say a word. We just rip them apart. Like,
Okay. Somebody threw this at us. Get Goldie and Kurt on. What's the progress report on that?
I think we're, you know, they're probably a D minus.
Okay.
I don't know.
Good.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. My mom would come on though. Kurt doesn't do anything like that. You know, in a podcast.
Well,
my mom,
you know, screw my mom him. Would. What is he, too cool for podcasts?
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. But mom would come on to chop it up a little bit.
Okay. Well, that's great. I would rather talk to her anyway.
Either her or Al Michaels. By the way, I love that idea. I think it's a great idea.
We're doing that next week. Yeah. Besides Busch Stadium, Joe, what's your favorite baseball stadium to call a game in? And it's the one that's behind my head right there. But guess what, kids? Doesn't exist anymore. Old Yankee Stadium.
Gone.
Probably Dodger now, just because the weather's just perfect. And it's a big, beautiful ballpark. And the booth is great.
Chavez is cool.
Yes.
Good spot.
And then we're getting a lot of love for Juggernaut with Josh, who's not even on.
I know. Juggies with Joshies. I wonder where he's at.
Did you see the picture he sent us of the guy with the like bird whisperer?
Yes. Yeah.
He's just living in a completely different life than I.
I wonder if it's unhealthy or you know, I don't know.
Or in what sense? Like,
well, is it just obsession? But I guess it's okay. We all have our
birds.
Obsessions. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think maybe golf I have that kind of an obsession with. My kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but when we asked about his birds and his wife, remember we had that conversation, like, yeah, birds are coming first. That's like his top priority.
Yeah, that's probably unhealthy.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. If I had a bird, I'd name him Pecker.
My dad used to say that. I don't know anybody other than my dad that ever said my. That's what my dad called it.
Yeah, it's kind of a lost word that I think needs to be brought back. Your pecker. It's really funny because it's not offensive, really. It's kind of, you know, it seems like a harmless word. It's not like cock or dick. You know, it's like your little pecker. It's I like it. It feels childish in a way.
Yeah, it's cutesy. Like you could tell a joke in mixed company.
Yes.
That had that word in it instead of one of the other words that you just said.
I love you. Don't like saying words like that on the air.
Yeah. My agent has told me not to say those type words.
No, I know. I get it. George Carlin, you're following the rule.
Seven words you can't say.
Yeah.
Think about those words. Those words are like nothing now.
Oh, I know. I know. It's true.
What's the mildest word that was on that list? Like ass?
Like ass or damn or something? I don't even remember. Shit, fuck, cocksucker. It was like a thing.
Yeah. Well, it's a new world, George. And we miss George Carlin.
He was great. He was great. All right. We did it.
We did it.
We did it. Go be with your kids. I got to go study with mine. You know, my kid's doing it. He's got like a mythology exam and it's a national exam, which I don't fucking get it.
National mythology?
Yes. For Latin. I'm like, who gives a shit?
You mean like the gods and the goddesses?
Yes. Yes.
Athena and Zeus.
Athena and Zeus and Hesperia and like Demetrius and all. I know so much now because.
Do you say Dionysus or Dionysus?
Dionysus.
That's who you are.
The goddess of wine.
The god of like Bacchanalia.
No, it's
Bacchus.
Wine.
That's the one. The Roman is.
There's
Bacchus.
The
Greek
Roman,
is
Roman
Dionysus.
Dionysus. And it's a goddess.
No.
There's a god of wine?
Yeah.
I know it's a god of wine. Yeah. So anyway, I'm learning about Cronus. Cronus was Zeus's father. And you know, and then Zeus defeated Cronus and he became Zeus.
I didn't know that. That's
yeah, Harris, you know, Hera is Zeus's wife, but he has many wives, you know. Poseidon is so Poseidon and Hades are Zeus's brothers.
No, I'm like, Poseidon is one thing and one thing only.
No, Poseidon, what?
Poseidon is one thing and one thing only.
What is that? What?
The Little Mermaid's dad.
That's true. Maybe I'll have Wilder write that on his exam. But anyway, I'm to help him study.
Ariel.
I'm learning with him. So I am reading this book with him so then I can help him. So I am essentially back in school right now.
Yeah. Well, what I used to do, my grandma was living with us for a few years, and I'd like to go back to why that happened. But I don't remember why, but something awful must have happened. But she lived with us and would sleep in my room in twin beds. My sister was in another bed, and she was a crazy great reader.
Right.
And I wouldn't read anything. And so I remember Hans Brinker was a book that we had to read in middle school, and maybe mm-hmm. Johnny Tremaine or something. And I'd just hand them off to her. She'd plow through them in one night, maybe a night and a half, mm-hmm. and then sit there and go through it with me, and I'd write my mm-hmm. report. There you go. Yeah. Thanks, yeah. Grandma.
No, it's amazing. I know. And now this is what I'm doing. I'm just back in school. So I have to go, you know, I've got like another 48 pages to read of the gods.
Before you can report to your son?
Yes. Yes. So he'll read a section, and then I'll read a section. Then we'll go through all these flashcards. You know, it's just, I don't know.
You're a good dad, Oliver.
I try. Anyway.
All right. Go do your thing.
All right, buddy. I will. Right. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye. Right. Bye, Margo. Bye.
Bye, Margo.
Listen to Daddy Issues on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daddy Issues is a production of Cavalry Audio and iHeartMedia, produced by Margo Carmichael.
Sound engineering and editing by Josh Windisch.
Executive produced by Joe Bach, Oliver Hudson, Dana Brunetti, and Keegan Rosenberger.